Blog Talk Radio.
What have you done? You've bought a ticket. That's it. Okay, you've bled. Big, slushy deal. No one gives a f***. You know why no one gives a f***? Because all they wanted to see was blood. But at the end of the day, why am I cashing the checks? It's simple. Because I win. I'm a winner. I'm not some loser like you from New Jersey. I'm not some idiot like these fans who sit out there in this crowd. I am the lariat, DJ Hyde.
I've won the crowd over that you could never do.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
I have the second piece of fan mail, and it's from a dear friend of ours.
Hopefully.
Hey, Knight. Forgetful are they? I know loyal to tree. Santa Claus with milk. Never and always buy shirts and see it hardcore for season. Let it shine. And I believe it was signed in excrement. Moose.
Oh, good buddy Moose. It's been quite a while since we've heard from Moose.
Hi, I'm Bink Bottom Trouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
You've never seen one of the Magnum TA matches in myself?
Lives under a rock.
I live under a rock. I apologize for that, but yeah.
Well, if you've never seen the cage match from Starrcade 85, you haven't done your due diligence before this interview.
We tried. I do apologize for that. I'm the MMA guy. I apologize.
Okay.
Since you brought it up, sir, there's one question. If I ever met, there's one question.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
It's a French interruption edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean of Credibility,
Dan.
Double D. Also with me is Dan the Man, Dan the Above Average Comedian, Dan Law. How are you tonight, sir?
Good evening. Lovely, lovely, lovely evening. It's going to get interesting this evening.
Now you can find me at Folsom County. That's on the Twitter. Dan, where can the fine people find you?
DanLaw83.
That's for sure. Also, follow, there's so many places you can follow us and join
right,
along on the
right
train.
Right into hell.
Oh, sure. But subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. You can follow the official Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. Like the Facebook at Facebook.com/Cell in a Hell. And to call in. Because a lot of people calling in, we're calling out. We're doing a lot of things here tonight, Dan.
I want more people to call in, especially people that, you know, weren't allowed to talk last week.
So that's 718-664-9133. And again, that is 718-664-9133. Now, Dan, tonight we have a packed card, if you will.
Yeah, slightly.
Just a bit slightly. We're going to have... of course, it's a French interruption edition. This is the fourth installment, Dan.
Which has my favorite ever intro music ever.
Hey, what can you do there? We're also going to be joined by Matt Trema as we look back. He's going to have a brief statement on Cage of Death. That was
is he alive?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Either both of them are alive or is DJ dead?
No comment on DJ's... well-being. Next week, he's actually going to have a pay-per-view appearance. So,
from an iron lung, but that's all right.
It could be if you saw that last spot, but we'll talk about that with Matt.
Yes.
Also coming up, we're going to have Azrael, former two-time CZW World Tag Team Champion. And I say former because he lost the titles in quite a hellacious ladder match over the weekend at Cage of Death.
Well, I've talked to him in person once before, and I'm looking forward to interviewing him again, especially after that last match he had.
Oh, hellacious. That's the only thing I can say about that. Also, we're going to be joined by Mark Angel as we go over New Moon Rising Wrestling. They have, of course, their next show's coming up this Saturday, December to Remember.
Good guys involved with that company. I see a lot of big things happening.
You never know, Dan. You never know. I'm looking forward to the debut of Ryan Castellucci.
Yeah! Coming home. Who?
Coming home. It's going to be a big one. Ryan Castellucci.
Castellucci.
You have to say it that way or else.
Castellucci.
It just loses the impact, Dan.
You know what? I just always wanted to see a match from Ryan Castellucci.
Lost my train of thought.
It's already over. Good night.
No, I was doing something here. There we go. Okay.
Put that away.
Also, we're going to be joined by Ryan Big Burgundy. He is making his return here to the Hell in a Cell to talk about this weekend. There were some great matches. We're going to talk specifically about the Evolve show and Cage of Death.
And stay away from the keyboard.
Yes. Well, I don't think he'll be around the keyboard. No reason to be typing.
Well,
no reason to be
know.
Typing.
You never know.
Now, of course, Dan, this is a French Interruption edition, which means Monsieur Oulala is joining us in just seconds, Dan. In just seconds. We're going to go over some of his moments in the 90s, I guess is what we're going to call this. We're going to jump around a bit. We're going to go from here to there. We're going to talk about a lot of things.
Can we talk about Kodiak Bear?
Sure. I mean, he worked with Kodiak Bear and PCW.
Hell yes. Which had awesome, awesome event names.
They certainly did, but without much further ado, we're going to play his music, the French Interruption music, and then we'll have...
Let's do it!
La la on.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French Interruption, now we're talking, huh? Ooh la la! Woo! I'm the champ! Woo!
Good evening, sir. It's Mr. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la! You swines! What the hell are you?
Oh, my goodness, I'm doing great, sir. How are you as we get closer and closer to this holiday season?
Oh, I'm living the dream, as the French do. Nothing better than a crepe in the morning, huh?
Thank heaven for little girls.
You tell the guy laughing. I didn't say cramp. I said crepe.
Oh, darn it.
That's why. He doesn't even understand English.
Now, You, of course, are talking to Dan and Dean, so I'm looking forward to this. But before we get into the past, let's talk about the future, ooh la la, because January 5th is perhaps a career-changing event for you. You are taking on... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened a couple weeks ago was just an absolute travesty. I mean, you heard the fans chanting, I got... that I guess I needed a screwdriver of some sorts. But, and then apparently there was a lot more than just what happened in my match. Apparently there was this big guy with a bat, huh? I didn't know it was spring training, but somewhere it is. But apparently they're talking. I mean, I got a screwdriver or something along those lines, and then someone's got a black lung, or I'm not sure if it was a black lung or, I don't know, a dark heart or whatever it is. And then... Papa John, he got sent out for pizza or something. I'm not sure what happened, but I do know that they're still talking about it. But Monsieur Ricky Martinez, if he wasn't lucky, he was nothing. Let me tell you, that swine with the little try to
well
take,
with that
take
trailer.
Advantage of me,
yeah,
and,
I was gonna say,
and my
what
chivalry.
Was that?
You know, the French. I mean, I was there to defend the lady. or I thought it was a lady. I'm not really sure.
I was about to ask, what's that thing hanging off his arm?
Who? Whose arm? Oh,
Ricky.
That young lady that was singing with me? Oh, don't blame the French, you know. It's just ooh la la.
Yeah, ooh la la.
Oh,
ooh la la. Come on now. It's an interview. It's not a monologue.
You shut your mouth and you just listen. I tell you. What was on his arm? It looked like some sort of, I don't know, but it spoke. And I thought it was handing me a phone. I'm not sure what happened. But next thing you know, I got, it would look like I watched later. It was a DDT that came out of nowhere. And it left me pretty groggy the rest of the evening, I tell you.
Well, I caught up with you after the show. Your shoulder was still hurting you, all that stuff. But you did lose the Mid-Atlantic title, of course. This was December 1st at Toys for Tots. Now, the fallout from that is you're going to face Magnum in a loser leaves the ECWA for 1 year. What are your thoughts going into that?
The Moron Modeling Agency taking a hiatus. Huh, I can see the thank you notes pouring in now.
What are your thoughts? I mean, are you completely confident you have Magnum's number?
Well, let me tell you, how do you take care of a snake? You take care of his rattle, and I'm going to rattle Magnum real good. And then you just watch the rest of them just fall, just go away like the swine that they are. I mean, he is nothing but a sneak. He's trying to. He sets me up, huh? He took advantage of my good nature. And, of course, Kerry took advantage of my good looks, so at least she tried to. But, I mean, I don't understand why they had to stoop to such those. You're Ricky Martinez. He has no confidence in his skill. Yeah, one-on-one, I had to take him to class. And he'd have to stay for extra credit on top of that.
Wow. Harsh.
Yeah,
rude.
That's why. Yeah, little sneak. And then takes advantage of me. If it wasn't for Jim Shorts and that shoe, I might still be in the ring.
I did see that. He did wake you up with the shoe. That's happened before.
Oh, dear God. Oh, well, that's another matter altogether.
Okay, so we're going to go. That, of course, is January 5th, Newark, Delaware. But
apparently there's a whole lot going on. I mean, well, Major Magnum's going to get his one-way ticket back to nowhere still with losers.
I agree.
The press agent, Gus Grant. We've already.
What about Carrie
him.
Klein? She tried to hand you her phone number between your legs. I'm not sure what was going on there.
I'm not sure what happened either. But I mean, she was. I was just defending the swine. I mean, you know. Then you know. Yeah, sure, Miss Piggy, take advantage of me. I understand.
Well, harsh words for everyone.
No disrespect to Miss Piggy. I no disrespect to her.
No, not at all.
Now, moving to the past, of course, we discussed previously on part trois that you broke into ECWA in the early 90s. Now, one thing I want to start off with, we were discussing this earlier in the week. You had some type of charity show for Christy White. Just go into that.
Oh, a beautiful young lady who I believe, if I remember correctly, all she wanted to do was be like a ring announcer for one evening. And we were privileged enough to be part of her life, as brief as it was for that one moment. That was probably one of the most significant shows I have done. I mean, it was, I mean, Boogie Woogie Brown was there. The Commando, Lance Diamond, he was someone to be reckoned with. I mean, it was it was the cream of the crop of the ECWA at that time, you know. And is just like today. I mean, the group we have just cares, and I'm sure that, I mean, the Toys for Tots was a good indication of that. And just as for Christy, I mean. What a beautiful young lady, and what a privilege to be part of that.
So, if I'm catching the drift, it was a charity show for her. It was like a make-a-wish. She was able to fulfill that wish of being a ring announcer for one show.
That's exactly what this was. And I can't tell you enough. Oh, and by the way, the little boy in the crowd who asked me to hold the title, I did hear you, but I needed to put up with the referee this time because with all those sneaky people outside the ring, I did hear you, Mijur, and I'm sorry I didn't give it to you because I probably would have been in better hands than with Mijur Martinez and little Miss Swine.
Okay. Now, another thing that we were discussing, and you brought up just a moment ago, Boogie Woogie Brown. How do you – memories of Boogie Woogie Brown?
Well, he had been a pretty big – he had been a 365-pound thorn in my side, let me tell you. And the victories over him were few and far between. Barry Cassino and I – and even E.S. Easton, we had devised different plans to attack him, but he was one tough man and served him right picking up the little boy that peed on him in that one event when he was parading around with him. He scared the pee out of the man. That made the little boy. And, you know, next thing you know, no, Boogie's not sweating, but Boogie needs a shower because, you know, the little boy to the little wee wee on the Mijur Boogie Woogie Brown, and it serves him right. For what he's done to me, I got my revenge to the little boy a little bit.
Now, are there any other memories you wanted to share of Boogie Woogie Brown?
I don't even know where to start sometimes. I mean, you know, whether it was a tag team match or just you know, a battle royal was extremely difficult trying to get that big load out of the ring. You know, you attack one leg, but the other leg still weighs 500 pounds. I mean, how do you get a guy that big out? I mean, we'd chop him down, but boy, the fans would get behind him, and they would start chanting Boogie. I mean, it was like the roof was coming off of the building, and you would just tell the people, you shut your mouth, you get back to the fries, you know, and you'd shout at them, you'd tell the little boy to shut up and quit distracting you, and the Boogie would just feed off these people. And then before you know it, here comes an elbow, a punch, a clothesline, a big body slam, and next thing you know, there's an eclipse, and there's no sunlight, there's no nothing, and you're just done. The man was unstoppable when he got going. I mean, I tried powder, I tried brass knuckles, I tried running away on many occasions, but to no avail. I've done worn out the tread on my boots trying to run from that man.
Some other things we were talking about. Jeff Pearson, you wanted me to bring him up on the show. What's the story with Jeff Pearson?
Well, you know, the three people, Christy White, Jeff Pearson, and Mijur Boogie, I mean, this is a time that I often reflect that I was, you know, it's the giving time, and though they've given me, Boogie gave me many a whooping, and Jeff Peterson, he gave me my first head scissor takeover out of a battle royal over the top rope, the lucky swine. But these were all guys that I often remember during the holiday time that helped shape me and taught me which ways of cheating didn't do so well, let me tell you. But Jeff Pearson, he's another one of the men that I was privileged to be in the ring with. And he was tough. He was young, but he was tough.
Okay. Now, another thing that you felt was very like a career-defining moment for you was sharing the spotlight with Cheetah Master.
Oh, Mijur Cheater, huh? Well, that... There is a man that I still owe him one, or maybe about 25, but I'm not sure. And I tell you, I had his number during that French Bastille match, but if it wasn't for that rickety old ladder that they had, you know, I was all over him. But here's another gentleman that when I got into the ring with him, the crowd would just be beside themselves with anticipation. I mean, the man was just, he too was unstoppable. They start chanting him. He would start pounding the mat, and you know that if you didn't put him away, it was over. And you know, then there was times that he's had Captain Lou Albano on his side, though we don't know where he got to. We think it was a concession stand later that evening, but just being in this corner, he didn't matter. He was in a Captain Lou was in a corner. We're not sure. We think it was up by the fries, but I mean, whether it be Captain Lou in his corner or the whole ECWA universe chanting his name, that was quite a lot to overcome. And I still remember the day I was robbed, just like I was in this last on the first, but I came out dressed to the nines. I said, he had nothing on me. He threw a little bow tie on for this best dressed man contest, and you just thought he was walking the red carpet in London, England with the Queen. But no, I had the perfectly pressed suit. I had my gloves on. I had the scarf. I had the beret. My hair was combed when I had hair. And then I came out there, and the bodies were hitting the floor from the women passing out, okay? I mean, there could not have been enough oxygen in the building because I must have taken it all from these ladies. But what did they do? Oh, they cheered for the little girl with the little bow tie. And, I mean, I tell you, that's another one. That's another rematch I'd like to have, the best dress in the ECWA.
All right, Dan, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
What are you going to say, swine?
I can't. I. You know what? It's just not enough opportunity, Monsieur Ulala. Another company that you seem to be involved with a lot in the 90s was the Pennsylvania Championship Wrestling. How did you get involved with that company?
Well, the Monsieur Blaine DeSantis was actually with and his partner, the late Judd the Stud, they had met up, I believe, with Jim Kepner sometime, and he had started seeing some of our talents come through Wilmington and had asked some of us to work up in the Hamburg Fieldhouse, which I don't know if you know the history of Hamburg Fieldhouse, but I was privileged again to be in the very building that Jimmy Snuka decided to eat the coconut from Piper, and that Larry Zbysko decided to give Bruno Sammartino, gave him a seat, I think. You know. And so I was privileged to have one of my favorite matches up there was when I ended up winning a battle royal, defeating, I believe, and I have to look through my records, but I know that I ended up winning a battle royal to take advantage of a title match that I had later that evening, and I was within probably 8 inches of a win. I swear, I was that close. I mean, I was all over it. But I'm just not sure what happened, but I kept trying and trying, and one day I will be the champion, not just in the Mid-Atlantic, but one day I will be the heavyweight champion.
How big was that company compared to ECWA back in those days?
It was about the same size, and we had a lot of the shared talent from there. During the 90s, there was a gentleman by the name of Sexton Hardcastle that was wrestling with us a little bit. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, Monsieur Sexton Hardcastle, but you probably know him better as Edge today. And then there was the Andrew Martin that you knew as Test, and then there was one of the best ones that I remember as well was Monsieur Christian Cage. Monsieur Christian. He's still crafty. I like to think that might be one of his peeps, you know? But the talent that came through there was Hardcore Holly, who almost rearranged my face with a dropkick like I had never seen. You talk about lights out. And then, of course, the famous battles I've had with George the Animal Steel, who I incidentally hold a disqualification victory over the Animal.
Yeah.
He hit me near to death, and I had to spend 3 days at the doctor's getting rabies shots. And then there was the other boogie woogie man, Jimmy Valiant, who that picture will be going up soon, held my nose. I think he was trying to fix my deviated septum. I'm not sure what he was doing. He was not licensed to do that. I know that.
Now, one of the things I was doing a little bit of research, and one of the things I noticed about PCW, and I don't know about ECWA, is PCW, it seems like they were on TV in the local area, at least.
Yes, they were up in the Reading area, channel 61, the one that gets that squiggly line after 11 o'clock on the old TVs. I'm not sure why, but it was one of those kind of stations, and yeah. We had done these interviews, and oh, one of the things I remember was the unrelenting phone calls I received from Dawn Marie. I was like, oh, see, French has to sleep, you know, here, you know. But we would do these television shows there. It was pretty interesting, pretty fun time up there in the Reading area.
I was gonna say, do you think any footage of the old day exists somewhere where you have access to it? We might see someday.
I have some of. Oh, I have quite a few. What they called beta or super 8 or VHS.
Yeah.
I think I have something like that I have to get converted. But there's my match. I remember I had one against the Italian Pizzel, John Balsamo. I remember I had that match. I had that. I have, I'd have to go back and look, but you know, a lot of those matches, I still have on VHS, and I need to get them transferred so I can put them on my YouTube channel.
There is a demand, Mr. Ulala, for those.
Well, my phone's ringing off the hook, I've heard. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have one last question.
For all I know, it could still be Dawn Marie, huh?
Yeah, well, hopefully. Yeah, that'd be good. I have one last question that I've asked some of the legends of the independent wrestling. Do you know the name Kodiak Bear, and do you have any memories of him at all?
Oh, well, Kodiak Bear. I remember Monsieur Kodiak. In fact, there was another young lady named Bobcat at the time that was up with us at the PCW. But Kodiak Bear, yeah, I remember being a special referee during his boot fight he had in the ECWA, and I can tell you, Jenny Craig never called that man because he could put it away. and let me tell you, he picked some pretty good food, and his match was going extremely well until my hand got stuck in his suspenders, and I ended up counting him out. And he's still, I think, pretty steamed about that. But Kodiak Bear, yes, it's a good thing he was on my side. We saw things the same way. We were right and they were wrong.
Now, getting back to ECWA, one thing you wanted me to bring up was the time in Wilmington with Ace Darling.
Oh, there was many a time in Wilmington with Ace Darling. But the two things that I remember once was him and Monsieur Devin Storm. They came out dressed. Monsieur Devin came out dressed as Cheetah and made an absolute mockery of the man. He slid in the ring and slid, he tried to do all the Cheetah's moves, and they really took Monsieur Cheetah to town. And then it's a very little known secret, but I'm going to let the secret out. I think Monsieur A. Starling is probably one of the best boxers in Delaware. We did a show with from, there was a boxer from Delaware that was doing, was pretty good. And we had a show and we learned that Monsieur A. Starling, he is no glass Joe. He's got golden gloves. I mean, whew. He may have missed his calling in boxing as well. So just so you know, you think it was Monsieur, you could see an uppercut like you've seen in Cincinnati from a bus driver. Let me tell you.
And I wanted to get into some proud moments you had during this time in ECWA. Let's just say the 90s.
Oh, let me think. Well, of course, the scaffold match didn't quite end as I wanted it to, but that was a pretty good match that I had there. And then the countless battles I've had with Boogie between Pennsylvania and BCW and in Wilmington, Oh, I was so close to having his number and just putting him away so many times. And then the Best Dressed Man contest. And then in PCW, they had a year-end awards. And I won the Most Hated the first year, and then they had the awards again for the second year. And I'd like to say that I won the Most Hated by a landslide. No one was not quite as they just did not like me. But, you know, the jealousy of the American people just runs rampant through them. But the moments are just so, there's so many. And I look back and I'm posting all of the stuff on Facebook, all the cards when I, of the gentlemen that I had wrestled. And Joe Rules. Oh, there's a rule apparently about winning battle royals with Joe Rules when you're at the end, because apparently he's undefeated when he's left near the end.
Uh-huh.
I learned that the hard way, too. Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
All right.
Did you see the rankings of PWI 500 I was posting?
I did see that, yes, sir.
Oh, and don't forget, you know, Caruso, I still got your number, and there's something I have to settle. You'll look more like Robinson Caruso when I'm done with you. You'll be living in a hut.
Now, the last note I want to bring up is fan interaction. It's very key with your style of wrestling. Where did you learn that, and how has it evolved over the years?
The fan interaction actually began, like I believe it was in the first interview I did, when Sweet Hansen heard me yell at him that he had no brain, therefore there was no pain. And then he looked what I thought was right through me, and he scared me into the next week pretty much. And then I understood that if my voice mattered, then I translated that to the kids at the ringside and the fans, all of them, even the miserable swine that want to shout my name like I'm doing something wrong. Years ago, they would try to tell on me the little tattletales, but they would shout out, and you know it would matter, and quite frankly, it became quite a distraction to have to correct everyone during the match. It became very difficult to stay focused, but. Yes, their voice, as irritating as it was, it's just part of how it is with me. I need, you know, I don't go out there. I don't go to the drive-thru and I don't tell them to hurry up. You know, I don't go in there and critique their work. You know, I don't go behind the bank teller, but maybe I ought to, because let me tell you, I learned a lot from the fans. One, that they should still just shut their mouth sometimes, okay? And they're under control. But the other part was they matter, and once they understand they matter, then they can feel like they're part of the show. Now, I took an unorthodox approach to the ring lately, where I've been going around the outside of the ring, and it's taken quite a time to find my way into the ring, but I get in there. But it seems like they appreciate that as someone that comes up to the bleachers and comes out to the other side, because the fans in the front row seem to shake all the other wrestlers' hands. And the kids in the back, they don't have anybody. So I've decided that I wanted to go around. And it's been with the locker room in the ECWA today, it's like it was in the 90s. I mean, it's good. It's encouraged that kind of fan interaction. And as like I said, I am privileged to be there still. And I will get my revenge on the 5th against the Mura Modeling Agency if I just cut off the rattle of that snake.
I agree. Ooh la la, good luck coming up on January 5th. Now, you're going to come
you
back.
Better wish me sure. You better put me sure, Magnum. You wish him the good luck. And you know what I think I might do? I might put his face on the milk carton, because that's where he'll belong when I'm done with him. He'll be gone. He'll be missing.
Okay, but we're going to have another interruption on January 9th, after that match, so we can actually talk about that match and continue on. Getting into the 2000s.
Yes, I will be ready on the 9th, and I will probably be ready with the best news, but I do have a little reservation because I don't know if he's going to be bringing out little Mikey, and I thought I'm going to give him Pop Rocks. I'll fix him. Or the boss, you know, I'll put him in a, I'll give him one of those little deadpans and put him in his seat, and then we have Gus. I'll probably give him a crank call, and he'll be tied up for a month. And then little swine, little Miss Piggy. Well, you know, I'll just throw a couple of apples in and out by ringside, and she'll be busy too. But I'm going to have a lot of work to do to stay focused with all those distractions. But I will take care of them. And he's your coach. Yeah, he'll take that whistle and he'll fix it.
All right. Like I said, good luck. You don't need it, but good luck. You can follow Monsieur Olala on the Twitter at Mr. Olala. So follow him, tweet him, and Mr. Olala, thank you again for coming on tonight.
Yes, and don't forget about the Facebook, and of course, I am still the best. Olala! Yeah, you lucky swine.
I couldn't agree more. Dan, we'll be back on the other side.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh?
La la! Woo! I'm the champ! Woo!
So, Dan, yet another French interruption, and each one, I believe, gets better.
The deeper we go in his career, it just seems he remembers more.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by his story.
No, it's just he's been around for so long, and he knows or has known so many people, much more than you can ever imagine.
I agree. Now, Dan, what I'm going to do right now before we bring on...
What are you going to do right now?
Well, before we bring on Ryan, I am going to call in Matt Tremont and talk about some stuff going on. So dial in right now, Dan. We have a good history with dialing people in.
So far.
Hello?
Hello, is this the bulldozer, Matt Tremont?
This is him.
Hey,
what's going on,
Matt? This is Dean, and of course Dan is here as well.
You.
Welcome to Hell in
the
Cell
Talk
Radio. Not too much. Let me bring on Ryan as well. He wanted to, I'm sure he wants to have a question or two for you.
I have a question too, I really do.
Now,
Ryan.
Hey, okay, Ryan's on, everybody's here. Now, the first thing I wanted to bring up, Matt, was, of course, Cage of Death was this weekend. You came
yes,
out
sir.
Victorious. You shut DJ Hyde's mouth. How does it feel now that this chapter of your life is now over?
Since the exception, since I've been in CZW, we've talked about it on the two previous occasions I've been on. It was a build-up of 18 months since I first came into the combat zone. And dream come true on Saturday, just being able to have the opportunity to main event the biggest independent show of the year, to be in the Cage of Death with DJ one-on-one, and to go out there and on both of our behalves. When it's all said and done, this thing between me and him is over. He got stretchered out, and hopefully we don't have to see the boss for a while. But when it's all said and done, we...
Nope.
Uh-oh.
You guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Sweet. All right. It was all said and done, man. This thing between me and him is over, and we both went out there, put our bodies and our careers on the line, and I wound up victorious and had my hand held high when it was all said and done.
Okay. Dan, go ahead.
I've seen the match, unfortunately, and I'm saying big unfortunately, I was not there after seeing it. I've seen the footage. When you decided, okay, I'm taking you through the glass, and you went through it, did it hit you, well, other than the glass, did it hit you then that I finally did it, or did it not hit you later? When did it finally hit you after going through that glass that I finally got what I wanted on this guy?
Before the glass, I'll backtrack just a minute. I was a nervous wreck all day because, you know, since I was 13, like, you know, my first cage death I went to in 2006, and I'm like, one day I'll get in this damn thing. And all day I'm a nervous wreck. I puked four times. I'm trying to calm my nerves. And it set in once they shut that cage door and it's me and him, you know, face to face, eye to eye, that's when the nerves finally calm. And I took in the moment as much as I could. And once I put him through that first pane of glass and then I went through one, it was an unbelievable experience, to be in there and to take that kind of punishment. And for example, I cut the barbed wire off the cage and I took the choke slam to the outside and I was impaled in the barbed wire and my back right now is torn to shreds. My back has one huge Band-Aid on it right now.
Oh,
and the ending of the match with me and him on a very little structure on the top of the cage to come off with that Death Valley driver. I knew right then and there, if this doesn't take out DJ Hyde, I don't know what will. And to come off the top of that cage, you know, both of our heads hitting the ceiling, we're right there at the top of the building. And to come off and to crash through that structure with three sheets of glass and the structure below, the wooden box, and crash into the floor, I knew right then and there, I'm like, this has to be it. This has to be the end of the chapter of all this. And I felt like we gave the fans everything we had.
So you remember going through it, or did you not remember until after it was over?
Oh, 100%. Like, as soon as we hit, I mean, you feel it right away. You feel the glass hitting you, shattering everywhere. It was like one big noise. I kind of closed my eyes going down, and, you know, we're both laying down there on the floor. And, wind knocked out of me. It took a lot out of me. And to abruptly crawl out of the structure to the top of the ring and just to look up to the sea of people and hear the ovation for me to be the first one to come out of that box meant a lot. And I knew we had the crowd, and it was just I've been replaying that Death Valley driver in my head over and over again since Saturday.
Ryan,
congratulations, by the way. Go ahead, Dean.
Ryan, do you have anything for Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, first things first, let me just say, Matt, I'm so happy you're still alive.
I hear you. I appreciate it.
Because watching you, and this kind of has to do with what you said, the Death Valley driver, watching you climb the cage, I was just thinking, what is he about to do? What is this crazy SOB about to do? And so my question to you is, why a Death Valley driver? Why not throw them off onto the glass? Why did you feel you had to put yourself through that too? Just to, like, what was the reasoning behind that?
If he was going to go to hell, I was going to go with him. So it was going to be both of us going off the top of that cage. And me being the fan of CZW that I am, and watching all the Ultraviolet Legends before, the Death Valley driver off the cage is a very memorable spot in the history of the Combat Zone. If you go back to Cage of Death 4 with Lobo and Zandig, they came off the top with a Death Valley driver. Cage of Death 8, Lobo and Zandig came off the top with a Death Valley driver through a barbed wire contraption. And I kind of reminiscent of those two matches with those two Ultraviolet Legends. And this time I think we even topped that going through the sheets of glass. And that was my intentions were, if I'm going to put, you know, DJ through this, I'm going with him. We're going to go to hell together.
Wow. Now, coming up, January 5th, On Point Wrestling debuts
yes,
to
sir.
The public. You are involved in a first-time-ever match with Homicide. What are your thoughts, first of all, with On Point Wrestling, and second of all, meeting Homicide?
On Point Wrestling's been a... Oh, you guys still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Absolutely.
All right. All Point Wrestling's been a brainchild and a project in the works with myself and the Financial Miracle Audi for quite some time. And we put all cards on the table for this debut show of All Point Wrestling to bring a mix and blend of everything you want in professional wrestling, and we're putting it on the table on January 5th in Running Mean, New Jersey. And It's besides CZW, it's my biggest thing I got going on right now, and I have the opportunity to go one-on-one with one of the best in the sport, Homicide, a former heavyweight champion, former tag team champion, television star, to be in this match itself, to me, how I'm looking at it, is to prove to the world that not only Matt Tremont can go hardcore, ultra-violent, extreme, whatever you want to call it, I'm looking at this match as the match to show the world that I can be hybrid and I can wrestle and go toe-to-toe with one of the best. So right now the only thing on my mind, since now the cage is come and gone, is the Notorious 187 Homicide on January 5th.
All right. Now, where can people follow On Point Wrestling to get the latest updates?
On Point Wrestling, they have the Facebook like page, facebook.com/On Point Wrestling. You can follow On Point on Twitter at On Point Wrestling, WRESTLIN, no G at the end. And the website just went up, I think, today or the day before, onpointwrestling.com. And you can get all your news in there. We send press releases out to all the major wrestling websites, Pro Wrestling Between the Sheets, PWI Insider. So we've definitely pushing it social media-wise. Had the opportunity at Cage of Death to flyer the event and get the buzz out there a little bit more. We'll have other promotions on hand at the event. So it's definitely a work in progress, but all the cards are on the table. And going into January 5th, you're going to get a little mix of everything. You got myself and Homicide, and the other big marquee matchup on the card is two former CZW standouts, and the King of Crazy, Pinky Sanchez, going one-on-one with the Notorious One, Drew Blood, in a no disqualification match, and that's a rematch 3 years in the making. Those guys, a couple years ago in CZW, had some tremendous matches, and the feud was never really settled, so hopefully they get to settle that on the 5th. And in a no disqualification match. And the rest of the card is a really solid card with a lot of up-and-coming guys looking to make a name for themselves, guys like Xavier Cross, Latin Dragon, and the match I'm really looking forward to is two gentlemen coming in from Michigan that have mainly worked for Beyond Wrestling. It's going to be Maserati Rick taking on KJ Crush, Michigan's finest battle. And come January 5th. If you don't know, now you know. You're going to know a lot of these guys, and we're going to, hopefully show the wrestling world and give the fans a quality wrestling product. And On Point's going to be promotion, not just running, looking to run, and just looking to run it, once a month. And hey, we're just a wrestling company. We're just, we're here to run. We want to make an impact. We want to become one of the top tier independent wrestling companies, in the business. And I really think we have a quality card and product to put on the table come January 5th.
All right. Thank you, Matt, first of all, for coming on, and thanks for giving us the information on Point Wrestling.
I appreciate it, Phil. Thanks for having me on again, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was Matt Tremont, the Bulldozer, victorious over that man, DJ Hyde. So, Ryan, over the weekend we were at the CZW Evolve doubleheader, and I just wanted to speak on a few matches, some memorable matches that happened over that weekend. Now, the first was during the Evolve show. Of course, Papadon from ECWA, he made his debut in Evolve against Masada, the CZW World Champion.
Whoa.
How did you think Papadon did in that environment?
If you listen to most of the fans, he really brought some heat with them. He was facing the CZW boy in Masada. I thought he did a good job. He handled it well. I think it was a good match. I very much enjoyed it. I mean, for me, I am not a big fan of Masada personally. I mean, he has talent, but I'm not a huge fan, I could say. But I thought it was a good match. Both guys did a great job.
Yeah, definitely. Now, of course, another match was Rich Swann taking on Jigsaw. Now, how did you feel about that match? I'm not sure. Were you there for that? Because
I did catch a bit of the match.
Now, Rich Swann, of course, we were discussing that he had four matches over the course of 2 days. Of course, at the PWS show, he wrestled. He wrestled twice at the Evolve show, and then again CZW against Shane Strickland. So, Rich Swann, one of the hardest workers in the business, I would say at this point, and I think he's starting to catch on.
I mean, Swan, he really does impress me every single time. You just see something new and crazy that you didn't expect to see each and every match. And I like him. I think the sky's the limit for Swan, personally. I would love to see him, you know, any of his matches versus anybody. I mean, I think I'd enjoy watching him, you know, wrestle a broom for crying out loud. He was that damn good.
He is really excellent, that's for sure. Now, of course...
I really hate missing all these shows, man.
Of course...
Well, some of them are just some awesome matches, so...
One of the matches that I think is one of the best matches I've seen, period, live, anywhere. El Generico, Samurai del Sol, taking on the Super Smash Brothers. Now, that just rewrote the book on tag team wrestling. I mean, the moves you saw in El Generico... For those of you who don't, he's been around. He's one of the biggest stars on the independent scene, and he is really Ryan. I mean, just the moves he does, the action, the pacing, everything that he does is just spot on.
I don't understand how this guy's not signed with one of the some big company, whether it be here in Japan somewhere. Because I mean, you're right. He's awesome to watch. I mean, his finishing move. A brainbuster on the corner rope from the top turnbuckle onto the turnbuckle. I mean, I don't know how you even describe it, but it's just sick. And I mean, watching how many matches has we seen now? At least good 3 or 4 matches, and
yeah,
I just don't understand how this guy's not signed. He is that damn good.
He truly is. He really redefines every time you go in there. You see something new, and the tag team match, of course, he and Samurai del Sol were. Victorious. Now, moving on. There was Sammy Callahan, Johnny Gargano. How'd you feel about that one?
It was okay. I guess I've been spoiled with some of the Sammy matches that we got to see early on. And even lately, you know, some of his matches. I mean, it was an okay match. It wasn't the best in the world. It wasn't the worst match either. But I don't know. I just think maybe Sammy was a little tired out. He himself wrestled a bunch.
Yeah, three matches in the course of 2 days, that's for sure, too. Of course, he wrestled Goldust at PWS and wrestled Adam Cole later on, which we'll get to now. That's a perfect segue. CZW later on, one of the marquee matches was Adam Cole taking on Sammy Callahan. Adam Cole coming up with the win with a very quick roll-up. How did you – that match just maybe the final chapter of this Adam Cole-Sammy Callahan feud that's been going on for ages now.
Be truthful, I didn't know Adam Cole had it in him for that style of a match. I mean, we've seen him do, you know, the straight-up technical match, and to see a hardcore side to him was pretty different. It was neat. And, he's growing more and more on me each and every day. I think I think for the first couple matches, he was a hard worker. He seemed really good in the ring, and he just didn't really know how to work a crowd. And then the last couple times we've seen him, I think he's figured out how to work the crowd, which could become the complete package very soon.
I think he's pretty much there.
Not the total package.
Not the total package.
Not the total package, no.
The complete package. And if you were at the ECWA Super 8 in 2011, never mind, not going there. But he made a wardrobe change that didn't leave much. I don't know where I'm going with
will
that.
Will you spit it out, please?
Good gracious. He's hung like a horse. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
Good God, that man.
Yeah, gotcha.
Anyway, moving on.
Don't poke me in the eye, Al.
It really. Man. I felt bad for Tommaso Ciampa.
Feel bad for his girlfriend or wife.
Oh, good gracious. So, moving on, of course, the main event was Fremont against DJ Hyde. That rewrote the book on brutality. Of course, the Cage of Death, it was constructed with barbed wire. It was constructed with 12 panes of glass, as DJ Hyde himself said last week.
Same.
Just, I don't know. We were both on our feet during that entire match, both shocked at some of the things that happened. What's your overall impression of the Cage of Death?
I mean, I don't even know how to, I still haven't figured out. I mean, we're talking Wednesday. It was Saturday. We're talking about 4 or 5 days later, and I still don't know how to even put that into words. I mean, I kid you not, I wasn't joking when I said I'm glad
not to watch. It's much like an Adam Cole wardrobe change.
Oh, stop it. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I really, honestly, I feared for their lives. Just, I knew something crazy and sick was going to happen because they had a top. I mean, just seeing Matt nearly die at Tangled Web, I was worried for his life. For both
I was about to say, just not to cut you off, to elaborate on what you're saying, seeing somebody almost die in the ring, you move 3 inches to the left, to the right too much, and you cut an artery. You're dead. You're done.
Absolutely. I mean, and when I saw, and I don't remember exactly what I said, when I saw Matt climbing up, he was climbing up the cage, and I said something along the lines of, this sick SOB, this sick bastard is gonna do some kind of a huge slam move off of the top of the cage. I could just see it happening, and when he went up there in the top, I was holding my breath for, and it felt like him doing the move felt like it took, you know, an hour. It just was one of those things where I was just like, please let everything go okay. Don't die on the way down, or, you know. And when I saw him crawl back into the ring, I was like, thank goodness he's alive, he's okay. That was just, that was just crazy. I don't even know how, I don't know why anybody would put themselves through that.
It was probably the longest, because it took him a while to get out of that. It was probably the longest 2 minutes of me watching a match. I mean, I've seen a lot. I was at Born to Be Wired, second row. I've been at a lot of things. So when I saw a spot like that, I can't even describe it. The feelings as a fan, just good
all
gracious.
I remember is looking over at you and just, you were exact. I just saw your mouth was almost at the floor. That's how much in shock you were. I was feeling the same way. It was just both. Nobody could speak for a good minute or two before anybody could actually say anything.
And of course,
you took your hat off and had your hat in your hand. You were that like,
wow, you took your hat off, dude.
It moved me that much. And of course, Bill Olson, listener of the show, same expression he always has. If you've seen a picture of Bill. That was the same expression. It was like,
I was about to say, he posted a picture of him and Billy Corgan. I'm like, will you smile?
To be honest with you, for a second there, I thought Bill was going to go, oh, that's it? 3 panes of glass from the top of the cage? That's all you're going to do?
They broke Bill. They broke him. Bill, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
I think one of them going to die in the ring, and then Bill has said, oh, they're not going to try and bring him back to life to try and do it all over again?
I think I had a heart attack. I'm having chest pains. I'm all right.
Poor Bill, but
Bill's awesome, but
it was just funny looking over at him, and it was
he had his poker face on. He didn't know, you know, he liked trading.
I think he has his poker face permanently attached to him. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's true. But overall, quite the weekend. Of course, we were at the PWS show as well,
which was pretty good. I thought there were some good moments at the PWS show as well.
I shall save my criticism for another time. but no.
Hey, Ryan, what do you think about this guy at New Moon, this Slim Burgundy? What's your opinions on this guy?
First off, I think he's trying to steal my name. You know, Big Burgundy, this guy's Slim Burgundy, trying to steal my name.
Yeah.
Come up with something on his own.
And he weighs a little more than you. That's what I think.
I don't know. From what I've seen in the pictures, he looks like he's in pretty good physical condition. I mean, I, for one, am envious of the fact that the guy's got muscles as big as he has.
I love you, Ryan, so much. you that was perfect. Thank you. You made my night.
Ryan, I'm going to let you go. Do you want to stay on hold, or what's up? What do you want to do?
You got to
go soon, don't you?
A little bit. I do have to go soon, but it's about a half hour. But I want to listen to some of the craziness tonight. It's already been a great show. This is awesome stuff. And the fact that I got to follow Ooh La La with Matt Tremont at the same time, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, really, dude. you're gold.
Okay, so I'll put you on hold, sir. Thank you for coming on to go over the crazy weekend we had. And we have another one coming up.
That is the best answer. You know what?
Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
It certainly was. So Ryan's back on hold. Dan, good gracious, Dan! It's already been a show. Let's.
I was wondering if you were ever going to mention the PWS.
I don't think I should.
Hey, did you talk to Billy or was he out of there?
Who?
Corgan.
No, he
there was the opportunity for the photo op. He was very cordial, but you could tell he wanted to go.
He wanted to get out of there, yeah.
And
it's very private, so I expected that. Some people were like, Billy, I haven't written it. You know, that's fine.
We did have an interesting conversation, though. I did say, I didn't think it was you, because I thought you were shorter. And he goes, everybody thinks that.
Dude, he's like 6'8".
Well, the original band members were so tall.
Yeah.
That he looked shorter than them. So
yeah.
I said, I had no idea. He said, everybody says that. I thought he was like 5'2".
No, man, he's like 6'8".
Well, I know that now. Well, not 6'8". He's probably about 6'5", 6'6". He is tall.
He's tall son of a bitch.
Good gracious. So, interesting night. Spoke with Goldust for a few moments. It was,
What was that like? Was he like, how are you doing?
Well, Bill was doing most of the speaking because Bill met him when he was much younger in Memphis. So there was a story to be told where Bill had sunburn and slapped him. Dustin slapped him on the back. Blah blah blah. But I
would have slapped, and I bet you his reaction was the same. Ow, that hurt.
No, it was actually a little more animated. If we ever get Bill on, hopefully during our retrospective on the 26th,
I want to get Bill on.
I would love to have Bill on, but Dan, it's about that time.
Oh no,
it's about that time, and I cooked up a special intro for this week.
Yeah.
So here we go, Dan. The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I took Dan on as a partner. He's equal with me now. Same as me. When you talk to me, it's like talking to him. When you talk to him, it's like talking to me.
Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing, the Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la. Hey, jingity jing, it's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing. The Italian Christmas donkey. La 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 la.
Hey, Dominic, what a dollar.
Robert, welcome to the show for another edition of Fan Mail. How are you doing tonight, sir?
What an amazing intro that was, guys. I'm telling you, I popped for myself on that one.
Now, before we get started, I believe we have a caller. So, caller, you're on the air. Just state your name and where you're calling from. Caller? Okay. He's
cold
on.
Feet, maybe?
I don't know.
Are you there?
Oh, hey, caller?
Hey, the first time, long time guy. I love your show. It's Derek Mills from Indie Reporting. How you doing?
Doing good, sir. How do you have a question for the Knight Rider?
I have a question for the Knight Rider. Hey, what's your opinion on Dan Cage always stealing ideas from New Moon? And what are your opinions on curb stomping?
You know, curb stomping is part of the hip-hop lingo that was big in the 90s, and apparently it made a comeback and none of us knew it. As far as my opinions on what Dan's doing with the Monster Factory, I mean, where to begin? New Moon Rising Wrestling started with a title tournament coming up this weekend in front of 10 people. The Monster Factory's having a title tournament for an aluminum foil title. They didn't go on to, we do our first show back at the Proving Grounds with a battle royal followed by a lumberjack match. The following month they do a battle royal and a lumberjack match. And now, breaking news, after we've been announcing it for the past 6 weeks, they announced last night that they're changing their ticket prices to $10. And anyone who brings a toy gets in for half price.
Now, after Christmas, that's interesting.
Well, exactly. And you know what? The problem is New Moon Rising Wrestling's toy drivers for PVA Local 277 in the Ronald McDonald House. The Monster Factory's toy drivers going directly under Dan's tree.
So,
next to Jake Bishop's checkbook, apparently.
Oh, son of. Hey, wait, what is this?
You know, and let me just say that it doesn't surprise me, but for all these guys working for him, the other workers need to realize that the only original bone that Dan's ever had in his body is Larry Sharp's penis.
Oh, God.
You know, and I mean, like I said, the Knight Rider's on fire. I might as well just say this. The listeners might not get this, but the workers who are listening will. For anybody who's working their show in the afternoon that Saturday and wasting their time when Tank Tolan is doing a seminar for the boys at 3 p.m. at the Proving Grounds, and then you're going to show up later that night to work for Jake Bishop and New Moon Rising, you need to have your head examined. You lose all my respect. And I'm just speaking for myself, not just for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Okay. I had a moment there. I'm back. Uh-oh.
Welcome back, Dean. How you doing?
Hi. The caller's still there, is he?
No, the caller hung up as soon as they...
What's up with the curb-stopping thing, seriously?
I guess he thinks it's cool. I don't know. I don't even know who has curbs to stop anymore.
I think it's cool that he uses that. I mean, you know, if you want to sound like a racist piece of crap, you know, curb-stopping.
Well, I mean, if he ever does decide to try to defend his lies in any forum whatsoever against us, then we can get into the racial stuff, because there's plenty of that I can throw on the table, too. So that goes out to the other guys that are working for that racist. There's a whole story to back that up, and we have photographic proof.
I've seen the photograph.
Wait, you know, that's... He's an idiot! And by the way, I just want to point this out. For anybody who's going to come after Dean, Dean didn't say anything. If anybody got a problem, you follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83.
And Robert Knight _.
Exactly. If we're not already blocked from your Twitter, you can refollow us and try to tweet us.
Then we're blocked. The curb stomping thing just really freaked me. And now he wants to do a podcast, too, just like us. See, you know what? I'm flattered, because if he wants to be just like me, you can't. I'm great.
Wow, big ego on you, Dan.
Well, now I'm wondering, that he always, what do you call it, he takes his comments and he blocks them so you can't post comments on any of their Facebook or YouTube videos, or the comments are disabled, the Monster Factory page is disabled. And this is a guy that supposedly is, you know, dropping knowledge and stomping curves, and the guy won't even take a comment. He won't accept criticism, because to criticize them would be like criticizing New Moon Rising, since he's stealing all of our ideas.
The only people that visit the page is you and Dean.
I think so. And the guy probably has to type with his nose to type that stuff, because he's got both hands and his mouth full at the same time.
What drives me crazy, and like I said, Aaron said at one point, you know, we really shouldn't say anything. And I agreed for a little while. But it's like you fire all this stuff in our direction, and we have no way. Of firing back. If you're going to fire, expect to fire back. And again,
exactly.
I'm not a wrestler. I'm not a talent. But I'm also not afraid of you, Dan Cage. And you know what? I don't have a gun.
And you mentioned Aaron there. Let me bring something up real quick. And this is
another one
for the listeners and the boys to listen to. Dan Cage is such a scumbag that Glenn Storms, a guy who I don't really see eye to eye with after he defended the Roughneck, but that's another story that we'll get into in a bit. He went to visit Aaron in the hospital, and right after he left, very shortly thereafter, he received a Facebook message from Dan to see if he was interested in working for the Monster Factory. Now, words can't even express how underhanded and how much of a scumbag move that is. As a guy who's showing respect for one of the boys who's in the hospital, and Dan's going to use that as a business opportunity. Obviously, he got no reply, because there's no reply that's worth the time on that one.
Oof. You brought up December to remember.
I sure did.
Good job, Dean.
December.
Again, I want to point out the views were that Robert said it, not Dean's.
You know what? I'll go on the record and say this. later in January, I will probably be at neutral ground, shall we say, at DWF, at the Sportsplex in Feasterville.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, the Pope himself was there, Larry Sharp, and a few of the students. And nothing was said, nothing, you know, no glances, no nothing.
Nothing at all, not a how you doing, bud.
Nothing. It may come to the point again where I'm threatened.
Oh, and what's my reach? Tully Blanchard, mother effer.
What's your reach, kid?
Listen, hey. They have the cowboy, the guy that stole Dutch Mantel's gimmick.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on the...
Okay, I feel better.
Mantel's corral.
It's like, I take it, if you want to... You came after Dean. There's more that we have never mentioned, and you and I could write a whole book, Dean, on the last couple months. And I take it personal. How do you like that, Dan?
Keep it kayfabe, Dan. Keep it kayfabe. Speaking of kayfabe.
I like Dan. He's a good guy. Larry is a legend.
Now, keeping it kayfabe, we got this huge show coming up on Saturday. And you got some problems with the American Roughnecks still. Now, I'm not sure. Are you apologetic? Are you? What's going on in your mind as we get closer to December to Remember, Robert?
You know, my attitude towards the other place that we were just speaking of will never ever change. But things with the Roughneck, you know, I don't know if it's the holiday season that's getting to me, or just the fact that I talk about being a hero so much, and then you know, it kind of dawns on me that maybe I'm not doing the right thing when it comes to the Roughneck. I mean, I have beaten this guy so many times. I don't even remember why I started beating him up, to be quite honest with you. But
I'm
kind of feeling a bit bad about it. And I understand that he, along with Glenn Storms, are going to be on the spotlight with Cliff Light at December to Remember this Saturday. And I may just make an appearance. I may be the bigger man and do what the Roughneck didn't do last month when I asked for an apology, because maybe I didn't deserve one. Maybe he does. So I'm going to come out. I'm going to extend that olive branch, and hopefully he'll accept it and we can put this thing behind us.
So going to try to put this whole thing – I don't even remember where this started. I don't know why. It was during the downtime that New Moon had, so I'm not exactly sure – I think it started over the internet, and it's one of those things, those Facebook wars that just kind of happen. So maybe you guys can meet some resolution, as disgusting as I think that is.
Hey, would you compare the Roughneck to visiting the DMV while trying to register Kit?
You know, I think the DMV is a lot worse than the Roughneck. I actually wish I had the Roughneck on my side when I was in that DMV, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I made it out of there in one piece, and hopefully this Saturday I'll make it out in one piece, too. You know, the Roughneck, just by showing up, is showing that he's got a lot of guts after what he went through last month. So we'll see what we can work out this Saturday night. But definitely it's going to be a big, big event for New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Well, what else are you looking forward to? Of course, we have Tank Tolan taking on Jake Bishop. We have a three-team match, number one contendership up in the air there. Your friend Justin taking on Ty Reno for the U.S. title. What do you see?
You know, from top to bottom, it's going to be an unbelievable event. Jake Bishop and Tank Tolan, I'm sure, that match alone you can put against any main event in the country. I can guarantee that is going to be, you know, you got Jake Bishop, who could have competed and can still at any time compete with anybody in the top organizations. You have Tank Tolan, who has been in the WWE, who has been OVW champion. I mean, you have two main event superstars going for the hottest title in the indie scene. You have my good friend, my buddy Justin America, who's going to do what should have been done at PG-13 Expanded, and he's going to bring the United States Championship home to a proud American. I mean, the card is loaded from top to bottom, and it's all for a good cause. You can bring a toy. Any child that comes in with a toy gets in for half price, which is $5. Speaking of $5, I'm going to be selling my 8x10s for a very special holiday price. You can put them in the stockings. You can buy one for $5, or you can buy two for $10 this Saturday.
Now, one other person I did want to bring up, he's taking on Mark Angel. It's Deptford's number 10, Ryan Castellucci. How do you feel about him?
You know, Ryan Susan Lucci has lost so many daytime Emmy awards that I don't know. I mean, how much longer this guy's going to stick around, but apparently he's another fist pumper, so he should have washed away with the rest of the Jersey Shore and Seaside, as far as I'm concerned.
Ouch.
But hopefully Mark Angel wipes the mat with him, and, you know, I'm wishing him all the best. I hope he does a good job.
Okay, so
he
Mark Angel
lose the, you know, roller coaster.
Yeah, the roller coaster. It's in the ocean, Dan.
Much like my dreams.
Now, Robert, of course, next week, it's a very Christmas, very special Christmas edition of Fan Mail and the entire show. We're gonna reward everyone for their listenership. We're gonna bring back Adam Cole. So that's one big thing that's happening. But
we're gonna ask you about his big dong.
About his banana hammock. But that's besides the point. We're also going to...
I heard you guys making horse noises, and I thought that was another reference, but I let that one slide.
Oh, Jesus.
That horse face. Anyway, next week, we are going to have a very breaker, epic Christmas. I can't wait for it. Can you give us any details on this epic, epic thing?
It's gonna be epic. I mean, if you saw the very, very merry Knight Rider on Christmas, which is currently tearing up YouTube as the hottest and most controversial Christmas episode of all time, Breaker's epic Christmas. I've been in, you know, secret talks with Breaker. He called me up. It was a very, very long, drawn out conversation, but together we came up with our own rendition of The Night Before Christmas, which Breaker's gonna read to us next week on the Christmas edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
I can't wait. So after Adam Cole, we're going to go right back into the fire. We're going to throw a few logs on. We're going to enjoy it. I can't wait. This is going to be...
hot chocolate. I'll have the missus.
The former hot chocolate. The hot chocolate's been upgraded, apparently.
Yes, it's hot chocolate with marshmallows.
Jesus. It's been upgraded with marshmallows.
Great news, Marshmallow. We're so dead.
Oh, Saturday's going to be fun. Now
I'm not coming. Forget it.
You're staying.
We're locking the door, and nobody's coming in. Screw that. It's not like we don't have any security or cops around.
Yeah, I heard about that. The New Moon Police Department, NMPD, running wild. But I have nothing but respect for the cops.
I don't know who they are. I think they're undercover. Now, they're in plain clothes.
What's you gonna do?
I mean, who needs police when you have somebody like me who works above the law? Come on,
that's
now.
Right.
I mean, you know
what? Kid alone can just run him over.
That is
exactly
true. I'm having too much fun.
We
gotta get serious. No, Robert, serious
because we're gonna go too far.
I know. This is how it usually happens. Usually, this is our off-the-air conversation we're having. Now, Robert, where can the fine people find you?
Well, they can find me at RobertKnight_ or in a town near you chasing bad guys at any given opportunity. I also want to let everybody know that NMRWrestling.com is up and running. We have our roster page updated. We have the birthday party page going. So if you want a real birthday party where your kids can actually get into a building, we have a separate party room. We have all kinds of packages available. They're not going to be crammed into the corner of a young boy's gym. You know, this is a birthday party at a professional wrestling school the way it's meant to be done. Check out NMRWrestling.com for all the latest information.
Now, Robert, it's about that time.
It's that time, and I think everybody knows. We learned again here tonight, and hopefully the people will realize this Saturday when I apologize to the American Roughneck for what I've done, that one man can make a difference.
Robert, happy trails.
See you guys next week.
The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling. All right, Dan. We're back. How are you? You there, Dan? Dan?
I'm like...
Okay. I just... okay. Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, we are having technical difficulties. So
not we, you.
Me, I'm having technical difficulties.
I'm fine.
Never mind. I've already said that one this week.
Yeah, I'm fine. The hot chocolate being upgraded, that was masterful. Yes. Oh, well, okay. I'll be right back after this. You know what? In the room with Brady Hicks, this happened. And we'll be back to talk about it.
But I did have a scumbag.
Oh, you have a scumbag it up, Jen.
Scumbag of the week was actually from last week, and I'm talking about Dean Dixon.
Oh. Dean Dixon is an outstanding gentleman.
He told me you were mad at him.
Just stop.
Dean Dixon is a great guy. I'm offended by that.
We should just call this phone in the room.
You were mad at him. What's going on, John?
We only have one caller. And it's my very dear friend, Brady Hicks. That's the only inviter.
Brady has friends?
He didn't let me. It's totally
Brady called an inviter?
I guess you two are, like, related so bad.
They're brothers.
I happen to know Dean's perspective, John.
You're a brother.
And I know why he didn't let you on the air. And that was because he was interviewing...
Tully Blanchard.
What the hell is his name? Tully Blanchard. I couldn't think of his name. I was drawing a blank. So he's interviewing one of the legendary horsemen. And he wanted to let me on because he knew that I'd ask a couple questions of Tully. As opposed to singing him a song and talking about
And I did have a question for him as well that I told Dean. And he said, what the hell. He's not important to me anymore.
What was your question? I'll answer it for you. What was your question?
I was going to ask him if there was one particular singles match he was ever wanting to have in WWE when he was there, who would that be against?
Bader.
Well,
he definitely wanted to wrestle Bader.
When I was there, I got to see Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels coming up. I knew at the time that they were both going to be good, and I'd have to say Shawn.
What kind of Tully Blanchard?
I don't know.
I think Tully Blanchard wanted to wrestle Cahagas.
Cahagas. Does anyone have a dirty joke?
All right, Dan. So that was the controversial words from Rhode Island.
Well, the funny thing is, John from Rhode Island, that was my call. I wanted that interview between the two of us because I worked hard getting it, and that's the way I feel. So the fact that you made Dean scumbag of the week, it's just a terrible decision, John, because he won't let you on anymore.
You know what? I'll give him his just due if he wanted to call in and apologize to me.
Exactly. Apologize. And you know what, Brady? You need to apologize for doing an impression of a legend. You're just jealous you couldn't talk to somebody that great.
Hey, he talked to Conolingus yesterday, so.
I don't know what you're... I've never been so hungry for haggis all my life.
Well, I'm not sure.
Kaflagenflugen.
Now, he is billed as the Tokyo Monster Dan.
He sounded awesome. It's just, you know, step on my toes.
He sounded awesome for somebody from, I don't know, Missouri.
Virginia.
I'm not sure, but.
Stop it. There's nothing wrong with him.
Hey.
He's probably a nice guy.
I'm a scumbag.
You are a scumbag.
and you're a scumbag, and Monster Factory is innocent. You didn't do any. We didn't do. We are jerks. We are such bastards.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
It's all our fault. And Jake's a jerk, and all the bookers, they're all jerks. It's all our fault, and we should burn in hell for it.
I wonder if I would get the call if I went to go visit Aaron. I wonder.
Say that again?
I wonder if I would get a phone call or Facebook message. Actually, you can't Facebook message me.
No, but listen, I will say it again publicly. We reached out to them. They turn their heads around like children and say things behind people's backs. And sometimes you hear things that are confirmed by more than one person where it eats at you. And if you have no opportunity to tell how that person feels, sometimes you get angry.
You know, it couldn't be
said. I've never met Dan. I think I met Larry on a train once. I'm just saying, I don't know him from Adam, Cole, and it's a very large dong. But it's just, he's not, you call it on the carpet. It just drives me crazy. I don't know how to.
You know, I know how to do something.
Yeah?
We'll be back after promotional consideration.
By the follow.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXT 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papa Don Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Date Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
Oh, hey guys. Jolly St. Hicks here. The Brady Hicks Network. TheBradyHicks.com. I've got my Hollister punk rocker.
What are you doing playing with
figure dolls
here, Hicks?
It's an action figure, Dean. It's one of the most popular stars of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I can understand that, but what are we doing here? You dragged me in here. I got my Christmas garb on. I'm all ready to go. Why are we here?
You don't check the memos, do you?
I don't.
December 15th, December to remember, New Moon Rising Wrestling, in association with PBA Local 277, their second annual toy drive.
A toy drive?
A toy drive.
Kid. Now what happens if a kid happens to bring a toy in?
Well, that kid is going to get in for half price, Dean.
So how much is that? $5 for the dummies out there?
It doesn't matter how much it is because you're doing a great thing for the Ronald McDonald House. And that's what matters. That we're doing great things.
Oh, get off of me, Hicks. I'm out of here.
You didn't do anything. Fun. What do you mean you're out of here? Come out December 15th. Support us. Support the local PBA 277.
All right, Dan.
That is a classic.
It is. It is. That, of course, is December to remember. It's coming up. Good gracious, Dan. It's
right around the corner, man.
3 days away.
And not only that, you and I will be on hand live for the pre-show.
Yes, yes. 4:30 start time. We're going to go to 5:30. It's going to be great.
Wait, we're
going to 4:30 to 5:30.
Oh, 4:30 to 5:30. Oh, by the way, Roughneck tweeted us and said, don't blame me for your technical crap. I didn't do it this time.
You know, who's going to come over to the table, Dan?
Who's going to come over to the table?
Ryan Castellucci!
Yay! I already set it up.
I already set it up, Dan. I can't wait for it. Ryan
better
Castellucci.
Better have some nice music. I want to hear it.
I'm thinking Tom Jones, maybe.
Oh, dude, you know what? Godfather theme. The love theme from Godfather.
I don't know.
Oh, no, see, that would be stepping on Mom Luke. Their original theme song, WCW, was actually a very... You know how WCW would take a... WCW mention of the week. They would take a song... Like, DDP had a variation of... Smells Like Teen Spirit. Raven had the Hell song. Come As You Are.
Yeah.
And they had a variation of the Godfather theme.
Shut up!
So, Dan, moving right along. That,
Hit
of course...
my... It,
that is, of course, coming up on Saturday, 6 o'clock, the doors open. Hopefully not the bay door.
No, that's already taken care of.
Good.
The people think, I don't have power. Dude, I got this stuff taken care of, man.
Good.
I'm serious.
Good. New signs.
New signs?
Trust and believe, the fine art stand.
Nice path.
I didn't ask you this. I haven't asked you this yet. And then we're going to bring Azrael on
in
just a moment. But what did you think when the Brady's line in the last Scoop Slam when he goes, trust and believe, the fine arts? That was directly for you. I don't know if you were aware of that.
I got it. It's one of those where I've been mentioned on radio before. It's one of those things where I have to go back and listen to it like 3 or 4 times before I stop laughing.
I got you. You can see my reaction to it. I was very pleased with that. That was my idea as well.
The only other thing I liked better on the Scoop Slam was the Scoop Slam right after. That was filmed right after Fallout. The smile on your face. If you go to the New Moon Wrestling, Inc. YouTube page and look at the Scoop Slam from the Fallout results, and I timed it on the comment section at about 3:40, the smile on your face is just hilarious.
Oh, was that when I was talking about getting rid of...
that dummy, Tank Tolan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's classy.
But, Dan, we are going to be joined in just a few moments by Azrael. He's been a mainstay, really, in the tri-state area for years. He's made it to Ring of Honor. He's been everywhere, Dan. So it's quite an honor to have him on. But we're going to play his music and then get him on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Azrael, welcome to the show. You are on with Dan and Dean. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. Good to hear. Now, the first question I have, it looks like you were trained by Homicide.
Yeah.
Just go into how you broke into the business, what it was like training under him.
Well, training under him was, I would say, hell. Because he literally... He beat you down, and he actually really wanted, if you really wanted it, you have to, you know, go for it. And I really wanted it, but I took a lot of beatings from him. But I'm happy, I'm grateful that he took me under his wing, because I wouldn't be where I went to if it wasn't for him. I know, training with him was good and bad at the same time, just because of the fact that bad was because you get your ass beat. It was good because you learn every single time. But it was like a love-hate relationship.
Okay, so it's kind of an old-school training under Homicide is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, go ahead. Elaborate if you got.
Definitely like an old-school training. Showed you the old school way, which is respect your vets and everything like that, and I'm grateful for that. That's how I grew up in the wrestling business, and that's about it, really.
Now, one of the first places you stopped, it looks like you made your debut in July of 2002. Now, what was your first match like? This is a question I like to ask to people. What was your first match in front of a crowd like?
Oh, wow. 2002, that would be CSAC for Jersey All Pro. It was a four-way, I think, if I remember correctly. And it was first nerve-wracking, very, very nervous, because the fact that it was my first pro debut, and I was really, really nervous just showing my face in front of everybody, because normally I'm pretty shy in front of everyone. Like, if you tell me to talk in front of a crowd of people, I don't know what to say. And performing in front of people would be something different, as, like, I could kind of zone them out and then just concentrate in the ring, which was kind of my flaws at first. But after a while, you get comfortable wrestling, and then your true character shows. But so, the first match was kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, yeah. We talked to, I think the last person we asked that question to was Bandito, your partner now in CZW and other places. And he said pretty much the same thing, that you're just all nerves.
Yeah. It's basically, it is, because the moment you have like maybe 400 or 500 people looking, all eyes on you. Whatever you do, they are looking. And especially after training, and then it's your first match, you're on, you don't know what to do. You try to zone them out, so that way they don't get in the way of your match. But one mistake, if you do make one mistake, the people are really going to make you know that you made that mistake and chant the old famous you effed up chant. And then right there, the nerves come up, and then you don't know what to do. You're like, oh, man, I just messed up. What the heck is going on?
So that does get under your skin if the chance to chant that at you?
No. Actually, now it don't. I mean, I've been in the business for about 10 years now, so I've grown accustomed to it, to zone that out, just keep moving forward in the match. But back then, it used to kind of mess me up.
All right, so now moving along, another, besides Jersey All-Pro, we'll get into your run there a little bit later on, but besides Jersey All-Pro, you also had ICW. That was a big thing in your early career. Just describe your time there at ICW.
ICW. Actually, ICW is still running. It's awesome. I got to know Jack Sabbath. He's a cool guy. He was back then used to work with Frank Goodman with USA Pro. I can't really say anything bad about that, because it was really cool to find new workers in the business, like from different schools. Also, the vets of the game at that time, which was like to me at first finding like getting to meet like vets that you've seen on TV a couple of times. It's a bit of a starstruck at first, but you don't want to show them like, oh wow, it's this guy.
Yeah. Well, who were some
just
of the workers there? That,
lay low.
Who were some of the workers that you work with up there? Like some of the people that were on TV.
For an ICW.
Yeah, an ICW.
Well, I don't think in ICW I've worked with anybody in that used to be in TV, but I got to meet Raven.
Okay.
He's a cool guy. It's just at first, like you see him in ECW. You saw him in ECW before, and I used to be a big fan of Raven. But when I got to meet him, it was just like, oh wow, this is Raven. Quote the Raven, nevermore. What's up, man?
Dan, did you have something?
Well, I was wondering. The question I'd like to ask, first off, first interviewing guys that have been in the business this long is. Like, was when you were growing up, did you want to be a wrestler, or is this something you wanted to do later on, and who were you influenced by?
Oh, all right. That's a cool question. All right. I would say growing up, well, all right. Originally, I was born in Argentina. When I came to the U.S., I came, like, around when I was 7. And then I saw, I think, Superstars on Channel 5 when I was 8, 9 years old. And I remember watching
back then. It was Hogan. I remember Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper was my favorite. Bret Hart. And I remember them used to, WWF at the time, used to be like Madison Square Garden. And I remember telling my mom that I was like, hey, Ma, I wanna wrestle. And she was like, yeah, sure. It's probably just like a phase.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to wrestle. Back then, I thought all you had to do was go to Madison Square Garden and sign up and go, hey, I want to wrestle and get beat up by that guy. But I found out it's completely, it's not, it wasn't that way. Yeah. I was influenced by Shawn Michaels. I was influenced by Bret Hart. Those were the guys that actually really got me into wrestling because they were wrestlers. And I wasn't in too much into the flashy stuff or the talk and everything. I just wanted them to wrestle in the ring, and those guys knew how to do that in the ring. They just made you, they sucked you into the match, and you wanted to, whoever you were against, like for, you wanted them to win, and then whoever they were facing, you want, every time that those guys were beating up in your favorite guy, you were like, son of a bitch, come on, get up. And
now,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like I was saying, like back then it was, the Savages. Savages was awesome too. Savage was a pretty cool guy. I completely lost track of thought.
It happens. It happens.
It happens, especially on this show.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It really does, Azriel. I'll tell you now. Jersey All Pro Wrestling. You, along with a whole host of people in the New Jersey, New York scene, really cut your teeth there. Just some memories of Jersey All Pro Wrestling under the tutelage, I guess you could say, of Fat Frank.
Let's see. Jersey All Pro. Well, back in the day, it wasn't just Fat Frank, it was Ray Sager as well.
Okay.
Them two, they were actually the ones who gave me the opportunity, and they gave me the lightweight belt for the first time after, I think, wrestling 4 or maybe 5 times for them.
Oh, wow.
And it was completely out of the blue. I showed up to the building. They were like, you're getting the belt tonight. I was like, really? No way. I was like, awesome. That's pretty cool. So I ended up, they made some tournament for the lightweight belt. I remember it was me and Grim Reefer at the time. I think we were round one. And after that match, I remember Terry Funk coming up to us and telling us that was a really awesome match that he saw. And I knew that was just a huge compliment coming from Terry Funk.
Wow.
And later on, I remember wrestling Nick Burke and Steve Mack in a three-way for the lightweight belt. I don't know what Steve Mack was doing. He's completely not a lightweight. But, yeah, he weighed like 250, maybe even more. But I don't know what he was doing in that tournament.
No,
but I was happy to be in the ring with them and getting the belt. Eventually, they're the ones who actually gave me the opportunity to main event their sixth anniversary show. It was against Jay Lethal for the lightweight belt, the ladder match. And,
well,
how
did that match go? That sounds like quite a match.
Yeah, it was a really awesome match. People, I remember coming up to me after the match, a week later, saying that it was a really awesome match. And Jay and I used to train back in the day, like every day, every other day. We used to call each other and asking each other if we're basically our training buddies. We used to train with each other. And then when we found out that we were wrestling each other for the lightweight belt, it made it even more, I guess, fun because I'm wrestling my buddy. And we got given 30 minutes and main event one of their big shows. Well, their big show of the year.
and people staying throughout the whole night to stay to watch our match was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And now, of course, during this time, you also, I guess, befriended, or was this the first time that you met Bandito in Jersey All Pro?
Yeah, actually, yeah. No, actually, I think I met him beforehand. Met him in Ace Pro Wrestling. It's called Ace Pro Wrestling now. It used to be called American Wrestling Entertainment, I think. Oh, no, yeah, American Wrestling Association, sorry, AWA.
Okay.
It used to be called that. It got changed to Ace Pro Wrestling. It used to be in Union City. I remember meeting him back in the day. He was a big fan of Homicide. He used to kind of mimic his moves, and that was cool. It was cool to see someone actually like you know favor your trainer,
mm-hmm.
and your trainer being like one badass wrestler that he is. For someone else to be like, oh man, he is a badass, and for you to go, you know what, that badass wrestler trained me.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. And from there on, I got to meet him and I got to talk to him. We just shoot the shit, and we got to be friends.
Now, you guys really seem to be very, very close. I mean, I see at different shows, I mean, you guys really seem like brothers. Is that true? I mean...
Well, I think to be a good tag team, you actually have to be kind of like, married to your partner. Because that way you can know how he feels and how he feels you, because you guys need to know each other in the ring. And no, it's not just in the ring that you need to know each other, but you also actually kind of need to know each other outside the ring, so that way you guys can make that connection.
I could call him
my brother.
Okay. And of course, moving along, you guys together, you and Bandito, have won the CZW Tag Team Championship. You've had two reigns now. Unfortunately, you just lost over the weekend.
Yeah,
and
that wasn't too good.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we'll get into that in a second. But as far as CZW, I mean, that really, we were talking over the weekend, and you said this was the longest time you were there. Is this more rewarding this time, being there?
I would say, yeah, because previously I've made, like, spells here and there. Like, I've did one or two shows 2003 and maybe one or two shows 2005. And then from there on, I was just, like, I wasn't really into the CZW crowd until recently, where they tagged us up, Junior and myself, and then we ended up winning the belts. That was pretty cool. I was like, all right, I guess I'm staying here for longer than 2 months.
Now,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, of course, during this time, you got involved in this feud with the Nation of Intoxication.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, they have really been a thorn in your side, both you and Junior, and Alex Colon. I mean, Four Loko, it's really... Is it over now with that match you guys had on Saturday, or do you see this going on?
Well... Junior and I actually have a rematch clause. So I don't know if the Nation knows this, but we, like I said, we have a rematch. So I don't know when we're gonna claim our rematch, but we do have a rematch. So I don't think the Nation is quite finished with us yet.
Okay, so that could be in January. You never know when a rematch will take place in CZW.
Nope.
That's for sure. One other thing I wanted to touch upon was you were in the first round, of course, facing your tag team partner, your friend, somebody probably closer than a brother, Bandito, in the opening round of this year's ECWA Super 8 tournament. Now, I have a couple questions. I'll ask you this one first. What was it like getting in there against your tag team partner?
It was kind of a... When I found out I was wrestling Junior, it was kind of a bummer,
But at the same time, it was pretty cool. It was a bummer because I'm actually wrestling. I was wrestling him, and it was a bummer because I was wrestling him. Because I wanted, if anything, if we were supposed to, if we were going to wrestle each other, I would want it to, for us to be like in the finals. And that way we can actually do something and show the crowd something. But we got to face each other the first round, and I kind of took it for granted. I kind of took him. I did not completely go into it like 100%. I was kind of like hesitant on wrestling him, but
yeah.
And I guess in the guest showed, because I ended up not beating him.
We had Bandito on right after the Super 8, and he said that was his favorite match of the Super 8, the one against you in the opening round. He actually rated it an 8 out of 10.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so he loved it. Yeah, he thought it was a great match. And later on in the year, you came back with Dixie, an old partner of yours, to take on, to compete in the K-Cup. You guys weren't successful, but what was it like getting back together with Dixie?
Oh, that was getting back with Dixie was pretty cool. I've won tag belts with him in Jersey All Pro, and I thought we were actually going to do something pretty cool with the whole DNA thing, but something family happens and personal problems happen, and he had to leave the business. And when he said he was able to come back and to be able to wrestle for the K-Cup, was awesome just to tag with him, because we've been wrestling together for like a while back in ROH, and I was able to, because he knows me and I know him, I was able to just be relaxed and let him, if anything, if I make any mistakes, he could cover it up. It was cool, but I guess all those days off actually affected him.
Yeah.
We ended up not making it even past the first round.
Now, you brought up Ring of Honor. What was it your stay like there?
Well, I made Ring of Honor the first probably year into my pro wrestling career. I think I made it 2003, and I debuted in 2002. There was a completely step up to the indies, because there you have to. It's not like the old regular indies. You can show up whatever time you want, or joke around and run around and all this other stuff. Over there, it was just strictly business. Like, you go there, you know what you're doing, you know where you're gonna, who you're wrestling, how long you got, blah 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 blah. It's really professional. It's awesome. And it was, to me, first year into my pro wrestling career, I completely didn't know how to take it. Like, I think I took it for granted at my stay. I received a lot of all the good stuff really early in my career, and I really took it for granted because of the fact that I was just young. I was like, oh man, this is going to be here forever. But learning from Ring of Honor was awesome, because you could get a completely different feeling of it being just an indie. You knew back then it was just awesome, just because of the fact that you were in there with some awesome people. You met, I met Samoa Joe. I knew Loki was there. Homicide was there. Trent Acid was there. He was an awesome guy. You got guys like Colt Cabana. You met CM Punk over there. It was like I was there. I was happy that I was there, because I got to meet all these talented guys, and to be in a company with, like, full of talent is awesome.
Now, everybody's goal is eventually to get to the WWE, or, you know, or at least on TV with TNA, Ring of Honor. Do you ever get discouraged, or is that a word that you don't hear still being on the indie circuit?
I'm doing the indie circuit, or I'm doing wrestling because I love wrestling.
regardless gotcha. Regardless of where I make it or not, I just love wrestling. It's a good way to get out of the real life, you know, working 9 to 5. If you do guys work 9 to 5,
yeah.
You're working a 9 to 5 job, and then the weekends you get to just release whatever anger you have on the weekends and whatnot. I just like wrestling, and regardless of where I go, I'm just happy wrestling. And I know sometime in the big stages, like I've got called to WWE before. I went to SmackDown, which is a weird thing, because when I heard that people get called for WWE, they call you for just Raw and SmackDown. But when I got called, I just got called for SmackDown, which is weird, very weird. And still to this day, I don't know why I was just called for SmackDown. It was 3 consecutive months back to back to back I was called just for SmackDown, and to this day, like I said, I do not know why. But I got to enjoy their food, and I got to and I got to meet some awesome guys that I've seen on TV. I got to meet The Undertaker. I got to meet Chavo Guerrero. Yeah. And meeting The Undertaker is like wow. Like this guy, you've seen this guy on TV for so. I grew up watching Undertaker, and I remember going to Madison Square Garden where Stone Cold first stunned Vince McMahon. I was there, and I remember Undertaker popping out later on in the show and hearing his music and the lights blacking out and the freaking purple lights coming up, and just crazy. I was like, oh man, this guy's awesome. And when I finally got to meet him in person and got to shake his hand, I was like, hey man, how you doing? My name's Federico. And he was like, hey kid, how you doing? I was like, inside, I was like, oh man, it's awesome. but I couldn't like mark out to him live and in person and be like, oh man, I would jump for joy and be like, oh man, I watched you so long. But I can't do that. I couldn't do that. But I had to, you know, hold my composure and greet him and everything. It was amazing. I also got to go to TNA, and I got called on a Tuesday. I remember I was coming home on a Monday night, like around 11 o'clock, and I got a call, 11 at night, got a call asking me if I wanted to wrestle on a Tuesday. They'll fly me down to Florida, I'll be on TV. And from what I heard here was no one ever got called out of the blue and to be put on directly onto TV. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So when I got called, I was like, yeah, definitely I get to fly to Florida and come back the next day to make it to work. Sweet. I'll definitely do that. So they flew me back. They flew me to Florida to do a taping, and then they flew me back on a Wednesday, and I'm right back to work. So it was like completely an escape from reality to go back to reality right away. It was like a tease.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Dan.
I was going to say, did you ever get feedback?
No. I never got a feedback from WWE the 3 times that I went, and I never got a feedback from TNA when I went there the only one time.
That's special.
Yeah. I don't know what I did wrong, if I did anything wrong, but it would be pretty cool to get a feedback on wondering, you know, so that way you can get better. Feedback is always good to hear.
Yeah,
especially
definitely.
Vets. Hey,
yeah.
This is what you did wrong. This is what you can, you know, improve on. And I always, regardless of, even now, if I see a vet or if I see someone who's been in the business longer than I have, I would like them to watch my match. And after I wrestle, I like to go to them and ask them, what can I improve on? Because in wrestling, you're learning all the time.
regardless if you've been in the business for 10, 20 years, you're still learning something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way to go. You got to learn something all the time in wrestling.
So what's next for you, Azriel? As we wrap this up, what are your, I guess, short-term and long-term goals? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, what I want to accomplish is I want to get back onto TV. I want to get back to TNA. I want to find out why, what I did wrong, before, like back when I first showed up. I want to go international again. I've been to Dragon Gate before. I want to go back. I've been to Germany. I want to go back. I want to do the traveling again. I haven't done the traveling in a while. And I feel like I think it's time to start traveling around and spreading my name a little bit more.
Sounds good. Now, where can people follow you if they want to keep up to date with you and what you're doing in wrestling?
Oh, sure. They can follow me on Facebook. They can follow me. The name it's Azriel, Azriel, on Facebook. Or they can follow me on Twitter, Azri3AL. Apparently someone took Azriel. I don't know why.
That son of a bitch.
I know. You're telling me.
It's like Robert Knight, you know.
I want to tweet him, tweet that person or email that person and tell him to let go of that name.
$500, I'll give it back.
Yeah, $500.
Yeah, probably. So Azriel, are you going to be on the next CCW show or you're not sure yet?
Yes, the next show I'll be on there.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing, but you guys got to watch.
Yeah,
definitely. That's coming up January 12th, of course, from the Flyers Skate Zone. So Azriel will be there for Loco. This war continues with Nation of Intoxication. I can't wait to see you again. Azriel, thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me, Dean.
No, no problem. All right.
No, thanks a lot.
Oh.
I'm kidding.
So that was Azriel. Dan, I'll meet you on the other side. We're going to have Mark Angel right after this.
Hell yeah.
And, of course, coming up on Saturday is the return of New Moon Rising Wrestling. It's going to be December to Remember. And Mark Angel, who is now joining us. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, guys?
All right. So Mark Angel will be taking on Deptford's number 1-0. That's right, Ryan Castellucci. How do you feel going into that match, Mark?
Ryan who?
Castellucci.
And who's this guy?
Hey!
I don't know who he is. He's a fist pumper, apparently. Deptford's number one hero. I'm not exactly sure, but you're going to be taking him on.
So he's a hometown boy, right?
Yeah, he is from Deptford.
I'm going to apologize ahead of time for spoiling his homecoming.
Spoiling
going down the way Ryan hopes it's going to go down.
You're going to spoil his Christmas, spoil his homecoming. Now, you have had some tough luck in New Moon Rising Wrestling as of late. You're kind of on a losing streak. You think this is the match to turn things around?
No, I don't think it. I know it's the match that's going to turn it around. I haven't seen this kid around, so I don't know what he can do, what he can't do, but I know one thing. Like I just said, I'm going to spoil his homecoming. I'm going to spoil his Christmas. And I'm going to send all the fans of New Moon Rising home all sad because I beat their hometown hero, Ryan, whatever your last name is.
Castellucci.
Castellucci.
Castle whatever.
That's right. I love it, Mark. Now, just a few weeks ago, you were involved in a ladder match. Your career was on the line. You took on King Blackie, and you took on Xavier Cross. I'm sorry.
Xavier Cross.
Yes, you took him on. This has been a long-standing thing now. Is it over? Is this struggle with Loudy over? You were victorious, of course, in the match.
Yes, sir. You know what? There's one thing I've learned about Loudy over the time that I've spent with him when he was my manager, and now you never know what he has up his sleeve. So I'm hoping it's over, but and once again, you just never know when it comes to him. He could weasel his way into something else, and then, you know, next thing you know, there he is again. But, yeah, we did definitely have one great ladder match. Still hurting from it. Blackie, you know, king of the cruiserweights. Xavier Cross were all great junior heavyweights, and, you know, we went out there and killed it.
You certainly did. You even went through a table at one point. So, I mean, good gracious. It was a hellacious match. What are your thoughts about that match? Was that the first, like, TLC match you were in?
Yeah, that's the first ladder match, first TLC. Definitely was as brutal as I thought it was going to be. That table, that hurt. I mean, with just me crossing there, man, that's one thing. But now you had that third element, and Blackie tipped that ladder over, and there I went right to the outside, went through the table, hit the floor. It was rough. Still, like I said, still hurting to this day from it.
Yeah, I could imagine. That, of course, was your birthday. So on your birthday, was that like a special moment for you coming away with that victory?
Oh, absolutely. And afterwards, you know, everybody, you know, the whole crowd is singing happy birthday and all that good stuff. It was a special moment for me. Also made it more special that, you know, that I won the match. Kept my career, you know, now my son has a Christmas. You know, everything Loudy said that my son wasn't going to have, he has. I've kept my job, my career, everything. So it was a pretty good night.
Sounds great. Now, Mark, I'm going to focus again on New Moon Rising Wrestling. I know he spoke briefly about it, but you have been on a losing streak. Now, we have seen this large rotund man come out. I'm not sure what that was. Did you have Taco Bell tonight? But we have seen this large rotund man come to ringside. Now, if he comes out and gives you the offer of a lifetime, and of course I'm speaking of Slim Burgundy, would you accept this gracious offer?
The offer of a lifetime. Well, you know what? At this point, it's going to have to be what he's going to offer up. You know, I'm the center of attention. I'm the center of attention for a reason. You know, he ain't going to get cheap. If he wants me, he's got to pay for it.
Okay. So, Slim Burgundy, I hope he's listening. Because
I hope so, too.
Because if you want the services of the center of attention, you're going to have to pay for it.
Absolutely.
And cheeseburgers.
You know, and cheeseburgers, I'll take a couple cheeseburgers too on top of the pay. But I'm definitely taking into consideration, you know, what he has to offer and, you know, go from there.
I have heard things about Slim Burgundy. Now that what I have heard is that he's building this legion. Perhaps it is a good career move. I guess we'll find out on Saturday what happens here.
Definitely will.
Any last words? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, any last words for Ryan Castellucci?
Ryan, like I said earlier, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you can do, but I know one thing. I'm going to show you exactly why they call me the center of attention. I will not leave Saturday with another loss in New Moon Rising. I will win. I'm going to spoil your homecoming. All the fans over in New Moon Rising, I can't stand anymore. You know, there's a huge difference between PA fans and Jersey fans. Jersey fans, they don't deserve to see the center of attention. PA fans, they appreciate talent when they see it. Jersey doesn't do that. I'm sick of the fans. I'm sick of hearing about this Ryan Castellucci, whatever his name is.
Castellucci.
Castellucci, whatever. And he's also, you know, homecoming. You know what? I'm tired of hearing about it. Ryan, this Saturday, you and I are going to step in the ring. And I'm, like I just said, I'm going to show you exactly why they call me the center of attention.
Mark, all I can say is I cannot wait for this match. I think it has the co-main event. It's going to be something else. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I can't wait either. Like I said, I'm probably going to break my losing streak in New Moon Rising starting this Saturday, and it's only going to go up from there.
Strong words, and I can't wait to see it. Mark, thanks for joining us for overtime.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me.
All right, so everybody, that was Mark Angel. He is going to be in action against who, Dan?
Ryan Castellucci.
Now, Ryan Castellucci will be listening to this episode, by the way. He messaged me.
I didn't say anything mean about him.
I know. I'm just
you
saying.
Did.
I said Ryan Castellucci.
Castellucci.
Now,
real last name. From now on, when you call me by my real last name, I don't want to hear it said in any other way but that way.
Castellucci.
Castellucci. It's the same derivation. I want to hear it.
Okay, now I do have another caller on, so I'm going to see who this is. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is King Blackie, the DWF television champion.
Oh, come on.
Hey, Blackie, what's going on?
What's up?
What is this? Come on. What is this? This isn't your number.
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's called favoritism. You sit there and you put Mark Angel on here. And he's sitting there, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, we had a swell match. You're damn right you did, because I was in it. That's why it was a great match. You want to sit there, and you want to advertise for New Moon Rising, why don't you get it right? Why don't you get it right and get it straight? I'm going to be on the show.
Who are you?
No, come on. I want you to say my name like you did, Ryan Castellucci. Go ahead. Say it. Go ahead. Say
King Blackie.
Blackie. There you
King
go.
King Blackie.
And why wasn't I on the show tonight? Why I had to call up here, Dean?
I just want to make it clear, it's Dean's fault.
Oh, yeah, it's always Dean's fault.
Yeah, it is. You see, that's what everybody says. Now, who are you wrestling? I think I know who you're wrestling. You're taking on Crazy Ivan.
Damn right I am.
Of you. Goodbye, King Blackie.
And you know what? I'm not afraid of Crazy Ivan. You know what? He should be afraid of me, just like Crazy Shay was in DWR. He didn't come back home. You know why? Because that's my home. Wherever I go, where there's a ring, is my home. So Saturday, Crazy Ivan will get dealt with.
I don't think you got it. Last month he took care of Mark Angel. I don't see much of a difference happening this time, quite frankly. All due respect, of course.
Well, it's funny that you say, with all due respect, and you show me none.
Oh, come on.
You know, yeah, that's right. Who else did you have on here that won heavyweight title, the cruiserweight title, the television title, and the tag titles in the span of a year?
I told him we needed some people from the Empire on this week. He said no.
No, you didn't, Dan.
I did.
You did not.
Favoritism by Double D. Favoritism.
Oh, come on now. This isn't favoritism. Look, I reached out to Mark, and he happily obliged.
You didn't reach out to
him. You know why? Because Mark is a Mark, and I'm not done with him. Not by a long shot. So, Mark Angel, I hope you're listening inside your little John Cena short and your little Foreman Mills wife beater. We're not done, son. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to beat your ass no matter what set it's in. And
you know what?
He's
still there, King Blackie, so I'm going to bring him back on. You want to talk about favoritism?
Yeah,
you're Mark Angel.
Put, like, you're back on the line.
You're on.
Blackie.
Mark,
are you there?
Yeah,
hey, Mark.
You want to call people Marks?
Yeah, you, Mark.
Really? You're the biggest Mark I've ever met in my life.
Your name is Mark, Mark.
Oh, man. Blackie, you're never going to learn. I just beat you. How many times have I beaten you in DWF? I beat you
never,
the last
You never
shows.
Beat me, Mark. And you know what? You like being the center of attention. Well, Pete, this. When I get done whooping on Crazy Ivan's ass, you're going to get the attention of the center of my fist in your forehead.
I'll tell you what. When I'm done co-main eventing that night, after I beat Ryan, whatever his name is, you can bring your little ass out there. We can go at it, too.
Oh, we'll do that. You make sure you bring the John Cena 10 years ago short, and I'll make sure I come out there with my belt and beat your faces.
Let's do it.
Saturday,
after I'm done beating Ryan, Castle, whatever, it'll be you and me, buddy.
Yeah. All right, bet. I'm going to beat the white beater off you, too.
Bring it. Hey, isn't there a rule you got to be at least 6 foot to get in the ring?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Oh, and what was that rule? You have to have talent to be in the ring? I guess we'll still go for them out on Saturday.
Well, I guess you're out on both sides of the coin, aren't you there, buddy?
No, I'm talking about you there, Mark.
Mark, I apologize for the comments of King Blackie.
Shut up, Dean. You should have had me on here, and you wouldn't have to hear me on the tirade. I have to sit there, and I got to hear fucking, you know what? You know what, Mark? I'm going to save this for Saturday. That's what I'm going to do. You make sure you show up.
He needs his bottle and his diaper changed before he goes to bed. That's why he's a little agitated right now, so don't mind him.
Any rebuttal there, King, your majesty?
Yeah. I'm tired of being overlooked there, Dean. And I'm going to start with Saturday, and I'm going to start with the Mark of Mark, Mark Angel. That's what my rebuttal is. You want to see what my rebuttal is? You're going to be ringside. You call it when I beat that ass.
Saturday, Blackie, I'll be looking forward to it. You just bring your little ass on out right after I'm done whipping Ryan Castle, whatever. And like I said earlier, I'm going to show you, just like I'm going to show Ryan, that I'm the center of attention and why they call me the center of attention.
You do that because I'm not done with you yet, Mark. So you make sure you do that.
All right, guys. I got to wrap this up. Thanks, Mark, for coming back on. I'm going to let you go right now.
His name is Castellucci.
Yes, it is Castellucci. Now, Blackie, you said something about being overlooked. What are you talking about, you're overlooked?
Overlooked? Oh, you sit there. Let's start company by company, should we? New Moon Rising is on Saturday. Where is there a championship for someone in my weight range, in my division? How's that fair that I got to go out there and go wrestle with guys that's 380 pounds? This dude is like 6'10". Where's the respect in saying, you know what? We need to respect this weight class. You're the king of cruiserweight. Here's a cruiserweight division. Where's the respect at, Dean? I'm tired of being overlooked.
Well, what about the EWF? You have things pretty wrapped up there. You're not overlooked in DWF, that's for sure.
Have I got a rematch for my heavyweight title yet?
That's between you and Ty, I would imagine.
Yeah, but right? Still, did I get it, though? The company should have came to me and just offered it to me, Dean. Shouldn't have to ask. I'm overlooked.
Well, okay. Are you ready, Dean?
It's all about business, Dean.
Are you ready to get back in the ring with your someone closer than a brother, Ty?
Of course. Anytime, Dean. Like I said, why do I got to be the bad guy and go ahead and go seek out these answers? They should just come to me. They should respect my talent and come to me.
Now, last show, Mac Daddy Ron Starr took out Ty Reno with a chain wrapped around his fist. I didn't see you come out and help him.
You know why? Because I was preparing to save the main event. You know, the one that had Xavier Cross and Whitebeater in there. I had to go sit there and go save that debacle, and I didn't see what happened out there with Ron Starr. But you know what? I'm going to take care of Big Red, so there's no worry about that. I might even do that the next DWF show.
Well, you never know what might happen. Mac Daddy Ron Starr, it's all about him now. That's what he was saying. So Empire no more. Who are you going to align yourself with? Is it going to be yourself, or you're going to get back together with Ty? Or where do you find yourself now that the Empire is crumbling?
Nothing changes, Dean. We got rid of the trash. Ron Starr's not there no more. That means there's no more Big Red to hold down the Empire. And now we're going to run wild. Of course, I still align myself with Ty. Me and him are still a number one contender for the Valor Pro Wrestling Tag Team title.
Yes, Valor.
You got something to say about that, Dean? What's wrong? Like, I heard that. You got something you want to say, Dean?
No, it's just every time I hear the word Valor, I almost throw up in my mouth. That's all.
Not a fan of Valor. But are you overlooked there? You're number one contenders. All these things that you're saying, Ty, I called you Ty. But
yeah, see, look, that's what I'm talking about. See, and you keep
good
playing.
Job, Dean.
I'm tired. I'm sick of you, Dean. You're just starting to get up there. You're just as bad as Whitebeater.
His name is King Blackie, Dean.
But all of these things you're saying, it doesn't make any sense. You're number one contender in Valor. You're a champion in DWF. New Moon, you might be overlooked a little, but you have to prove yourself. There's a pecking order, and Crazy Ivan's the first step.
Crazy Ivan's the first step. You know what, Dean? You're starting to anger me. You sit there, you call me Tyrino. Do I look 6 foot to you, Dean? Do you understand what you just did?
Did I light a fire?
Yeah, and you're about to get burned, Dean. You're about to
What I'm talking about is I have to sit there and I got to hear fans ask me about, let's just talk about some of the stuff you just talked about. They asked me about the Super 8 tournament or the Super 8 Cup, my fault. And they sit there and like, oh, they got all these great guys. Why aren't you in there? Because they're afraid to bring me in. I reached out to them. They don't want the King of the Cruiserweights in there. Overlooked. They have these little tournaments here and there or whatever. But if you're not the golden boy, you don't get chosen, Dean. That's what I mean by overlooked. So from now on, 2013, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to beat that ass. And when there ain't nobody else to sit there and compete in these tournaments, when there ain't no more golden boys, then they'll get the shine to black.
Wow.
Come on, let's go, Dean. Go ahead. You want to sit there and get me riled up and everything? Go ahead.
No, question, Dean? I think you pretty much wrapped it up yourself.
I'm sick of the favoritism. I'm sick of the politics. Sick of reaching out, and I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, hey, what's up? Oh, you got this going on, and I get overlooked. They're sitting there, and they went, we got this guy. That's not for you, brother. I'm sick of that. Come on, let's go, Dean. Come on.
Blackie, I'm going to have to let you go because I got to wrap this whole show up now.
Whatever, Dean. At least you got my name right this time. You didn't mistake me for Ty. So come on, you want
to
sit there?
I had to feed him lines, Blackie.
What happened?
I had to feed him lines, King Blackie.
Apparently, he can't read.
Mm-mm.
Well, King Blackie, it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Pleasure's all yours.
Well, with that, I'm going to let King Blackie go. Now, he seems a little fired up, Dan.
Yeah, hey, nice guy, man.
Nice guy.
Yeah, you're always, you know, you need to stop, you know, oppressing the Empire and stop causing trouble.
Oppressing the Empire? What are you insinuating there, Dan?
You know,
I don't like where you're going with that.
Don't let people in. You're always bringing them down, shooting them off as, you know, not worthy of competing, you're going to get beat up.
I didn't say they weren't worthy of competing.
I
simply said
read between the lines, Dean.
That crazy Ivan is going to tear somebody apart. He has yet another day pass. I don't know who keeps on doing it. We're going to have to investigate the mysterious board why they keep on going.
I think the board has something a little to do with that.
Well, why do they keep on getting this? He's crazy.
Listen, you know what? I get scared when he walks in.
He lives up to the name.
The two guys that stand next to him the whole time backstage, he just sits there and rocks back and forth and grunts. It's very disturbing. And they thank God the people behind in front of the curtain can't see it because you wouldn't let the kids in.
No, not at all. It's a dangerous environment.
It is very dangerous.
You got Ryan Castellucci fist pumping.
Castellucci.
You got Mark Angel.
Yeah, fist pumping Mark Angel going to beat up. You got Empire, who's supposedly dangerous in your eyes. I've never had a problem with Empire.
Large men at ringside? Punk rockers? Cheeseburgers?
Well, punk rock hasn't been around since like 94.
Oranges?
Hey.
Tables?
Tables? Well, there used to be tables.
Now, of course, this is coming up Saturday, and it is New Moon Rising Wrestling. They return to the Proving Grounds, 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W.
Exit 25A on 295.
It's easier to find if you put it in MapQuest or if you put it in your GPS. Who uses MapQuest, really?
I don't, because I get lost when I do that.
But it's better if you punch in Westville, New Jersey. It's actually in Deppert.
Or if you just, go down exit 295A. Exit 25A, excuse me, on 295. I'm having a sign put up. I'm having a sign made to put up on the street.
You'll have to clear that one, Dan. That's all I'll say. Off air, I'll discuss.
Thank you very much.
I didn't think that it was. Anyway, we'll talk off air. Now, Dan, some places you can go to follow our guests are, of course, ECWAProWrestling.com. That's to follow Mishiro Olalai. He's got the big match coming up against Magnum. Somebody's going to be gone for a year. Of course, CZWrestling.com. Follow Matt Tremont.
If you have not seen the match that happened this past weekend, as soon as that footage is available, please watch it. One of the things he mentioned was the sound that it made. The sound that those two make going through the glass at the end. Ugh, unbelievable.
Certainly.
How they're both not dead. Well, we haven't heard about the DJ, but how he's not dead, I have no idea.
Of course, we have TVbyDemand.com. That's where you can find all the action for DWF. Of course, that's Doc Diamond's Destruction Wrestling Federation.
Heck of an announced team.
Yeah. Yeah, if the footage ever gets out there, it certainly is.
I've seen it.
That was the last time I saw it.
Oh.
And, of course, NMRWrestling.com.
Hell of an announced team.
Yes, and the footage has gotten out there.
And that has gotten out there, yes.
So, yeah, we have all that. Of course, check their daily. The roster page, as Robert Knight said, is up now. You can see the roster. You can also check out Scoop Slam. You can also check out Fan Mail. Everything is there that you need to see for New Moon Rising Wrestling. And, of course, some of our guests, we had Mark Angel. He's taking on Ryan Castellucci. King Blackie.
Castellucci.
King Blackie will be taking on Crazy Ivan. We're going to have Tank Tolan challenging, really, a stand-up guy. The leader of the Me Society. Jake Bishop, the heavyweight champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Stand-up guy until the lights shut off.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dan.
Okay, you were there, Dean.
Don Warren.
Well, you play. Okay. All right. You think you have everything figured out?
I do. I certainly do. I. You know what? I have a little plan for the
dummy
kids. You
have a picture
kids.
Of that, too?
No. I have a little plan for the dummy kids. Don't you worry about it, Dan.
Okay.
Let's just say someone's going to profit off of this toy drive.
Oh,
indeed.
You son of a.
Dan Cage isn't the only one who's going to have toys under his tree, if you catch my drift.
Edit. There's about an hour on this show that'll never see air.
Oh, I don't care anymore, Dan. Of course, we're also going to have.
I don't either, really.
Of course, so that's coming up, New Moon Rising Wrestling. This, well, that probably should be edited, actually.
No, please. Leave that. I want to ask him. So, Adam. No, good.
There's a picture if you look through my albums on Facebook.
All right, I'm going to look that up. Not that I'm gay, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, there's a picture of the banana hammock. Now, of course...
Is it wrong if I say I'm looking forward to seeing this picture?
A little bit. Now, you can follow Azriel on Twitter at...
Azriel?
A-Z-R-I, the number 3-A-L.
It looks cooler anyway. It's that poser that stole his name.
Exactly. You can follow Mr. Olala at... Mr. Olala, and that's O-O-H-L-A-L-A.
I really like that segment this week.
Tremont, you can follow at Tremont C-Z-W. Mark Angel at Mark Angel 24. Ryan Big Burgundy, you can follow him as well. And King Blackie, what's King Blackie's Twitter? It's 215 Blackie, right?
I was going to say 215 Blackie.
Yes.
Of course you would forget that.
Well, no, it's not that I forgot it. It's just I didn't have it prepared.
Well, that comes
Saturday. I didn't have it prepared here. He's still listening. He's still there. Oh, no, that's not him. That's someone else is still there. I'm surprised he's up this late. Maybe he fell asleep. You know what? I'm going to put him on and see if he's awake or not. Hey Ryan, are you awake?
Sadly, yes, I am.
What the hell are you still doing awake?
I'm enjoying the show. You guys were putting on such a great show. I didn't want to go to sleep just yet. I had to listen all
the
way
through. Yeah, see, why would you even ask why he's awake? Of course he's enjoying the show, Dean.
Well, I don't know. He's in overtime.
That's good.
With
you know what? Quite frankly, we're good.
You know, and sometimes when you're good, people come after you, so.
Yes. And sometimes they're full of shit.
Could be, Dan. Could
you know what?
Be.
I heard the air is bad around there this time of year.
Oh, yeah, the train that derailed. Anyway, Ryan, thanks for listening.
You should lower the... Never mind. I'm not done.
And
I'm going to have to catch up with you tomorrow, because I definitely want to talk to you about a couple of things coming up, but that's off air. We'll talk about that.
What did you do now? What did you do now?
I don't think he did anything, but we'll talk.
About you? What did you do now?
Nobody did anything. Like just some other general stuff I want to talk to him about.
Okay.
Let's just say I wanted to mention, talk about some things, maybe like a breakfast outing, that kind of thing.
I saw that. Merry Christmas, Ryan.
How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Yes,
but all right. We'll talk off air, Ryan. Thank you for listening. I'll put you back on hold.
All right, thank you.
All right, so that was Ryan Big Burgundy. Of course, you can follow him at Ryan Big Burgundy.
No relation to Slim Burgundy.
None whatsoever.
Whatsoever. Slim Burgundy, much better shape.
That was perfect. Anyway, Dan, it has been quite a ride tonight.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I knew it was going to happen this way.
Consequences will never be the same, as the internet saying goes.
What consequences?
You don't remember that girl that people started sending pizza to? It was a whole thing where the father was like, "You guys on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to call the internet police on you." You don't remember that whole thing?
No.
Well, looks like next week we're going to have some exclusive footage for you, Dan.
I can't wait to see it.
Yes.
If it's still around. I would also like to say that everything's good in the hood on this part. You know, that's end of story there.
Ryan Castellucci. That Deppard's number 10, Dan. Can't wait to meet him.
Keep talking shit. Go ahead.
What's he going to do? Fist pump me?
He might threaten you with a piece.
It's happened before, Dan.
It's happened before, and you weren't even there.
So, for Dan Law, and where can people find you, Dan?
Hiding in a corner somewhere. Dan Law 83 on Twitter.
And for myself, of course, you can find me at Folsom County and follow the Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio. Don't rattle anybody's cages this week, people. A point of contention that I always had is you never said I quit. You just said yes.
I never did. Absolutely never said I quit. It was an I quit match. It was not a yes match. It was an I quit match.
So that's been something that I guess has been burning for years. You're in this feud with Magnum PA. He's winning.
Where's the save? Who's got it in this corner? Now Magnum's got one. He's got a piece of that chair. Hey!